أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أمن هذا الذي هو جند لكم ينصركم من دون الرحمن إن الكافرون إلا في غرور. أمن هذا الذي يرزقكم إن أمسك رزقه بل لجوا في عتو ونفور. أفمن يمشي مكبا على وجهه أهدى أمن يمشي سويا على صراط مستقيم. قل هو الذي أنشأكم وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة قليلا ما تشكرون. قل هو الذي ذرأكم في الأرض وإليه تحشرون. ويقولون متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين. قل إنما العلم عند الله وإنما أنا نذير مبين. صدق الله العظيم. Today we are starting from ayah number 20 of Surah Al-Mulk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking the human beings a question. أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ جُنْدٌ لَكُمْ. Who is there to be your army? يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ الرَّحْمَانِ. Who would help you other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful one, الرَّحْمَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using the word jund. Jund means army. And the purpose of the army is to protect the people, to protect the country, to protect the nation, to protect the land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if I will not be of your help, if I would not be on your side, and you won't take me as your army, which means your protector, because army is a protector, the one that protects our honor, our wealth, our land, our blood, our lives, our children, our families. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if I'm not in your side and I'm not helping you people, فَمَنْ يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ الرَّحْمَانِ, then who is there to help you other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ جُنْدٌ لَكُمْ. Who is there? He says, give me a name. Tell me some people. Give me the name of that group. Who is there to be in your army? And who would be able to help you if Allah is not on your side? إِنِ الْكَافِرُونَ إِلَّا فِي غُرُورٍ. Disbelievers are in delusion. They are deceiving themselves. They don't know what they're doing to themselves. Basically, this ayah and the ayahs that are coming next, they all deal with aqeedah, belief. And we have to really understand this point very clearly, that when we talk about aqeedah, aqeedah is something that we have to either believe it or reject it. There is nothing like take it 50% and reject the rest of the 50%. Aqeedah, belief, is the thing that determines whether this person belongs to a certain religion, sect or group, or he does not belong to them. This is what the aqidah does. The difference between Muslims, Christians, Jews, or any other nation, the main difference is in the aqidah, in the belief. Within our Muslims, we find there are people who have deviated from the right path. They have gone away from the Sirat al-Mustaqim, and have They perform salah just like we do. They call adhan, they have their masajid, places that they call the masajid. But the reason we say that those people are out of deen, away from Islam, is for the purpose of, for the same reason, which is aqidah. They have changed their beliefs. So aqidah is the most important thing in any religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, Surah Al-Mulk, basically talks about aqidah. The most fundamental thing human beings need in this life. Belief, aqidah. And therefore, the worst thing any person would do to people is try to confuse their aqidah. A person who would try to confuse people in their iman, in their belief, is worse than a person who is trying to stop them from performing their salah, from reciting Quran, and from doing some of these acts. Because once you have confused any person's aqidah, any person's belief, then that person's iman is in doubt. If he was not doing some of the ibadah, he's a sinner. But at least his iman is complete. He has his belief. But if his iman is shaky, and he has doubt about his own belief, God forbid someone will start bringing up questions about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will confuse people's belief in Allah. Or someone will start bringing objections against the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wal'ayazu billah, that will confuse people's belief in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That person who has his confused belief in Allah or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he regularly performs his salah, is not doing any good to himself, and that person's iman is in doubt. In fact, if he has any doubt about the truthfulness of Allah or his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, none of his salah, ibadah, prayers, none of them are accepted. As we know it from the history, Musaylamah al-Kadhab, the person who claimed to be the Prophet of Allah wal-Iyazu billah after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to perform the daily prayers. They used to call the adhan. In fact, that person thought it will be too difficult to compile a whole sharia by himself. So he took the whole sharia from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and just added one thing to it, and that was, I'm also a prophet of Allah wal-Iyazu billah. So he used to say that Allah is one. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a prophet of Allah, and I'm also a prophet of Allah wal-Iyazu billah. That's all he did. Rest of the ibadahs, he just left them the way they were. No change. No difference. Yet, the whole ummah agreed that these people were kafirs. They were murtad. Out of Islam. Same thing. If a person, even today, he's shaking his aqidah, his belief, that person is in real bad situation. So therefore, this aqidah is something that we really have to protect. And how does the aqidah come? Aqidah does not come by proofs. Aqidah comes by trust. Remember this point. Aqidah does not come by proofs. Aqidah will come by trust. Yes, to have the aqidah, we have to have the proof. Quran will tell us this is what it is. But now, after knowing that this is in Quran, someone tries to put doubts about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's prophethood, wal'ayazu billah, questions about how did Jibreel alayhi salam come. And he says, it's impossible for an angel to come down with that speed, with this. He's trying to prove it in every scientific way that it's impossible for a human being to talk to angel, or the angel would come and deliver these type of messages. Or he's trying to say, it's impossible for Quran to be in its original form, or there was no possibility of people memorizing it at that time. They did not have. He's trying to prove it from history that people were not able to memorize it, they were not able to write it, they were not able to protect it. We will say, this is a matter of aqidah. Aqidah now, once we have believed and initially we know that this is what it is, now we don't need proofs, now we need trust. trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, I will preserve it for you. Now, irrespective of what the world says, Allah says, I would preserve this Quran for you, I would take it. Trust in Allah. That's it. And this is a reason. If a kafir would come and he would like to discuss different parts of Iman and Deen with us, he says, how come you perform the salah in this manner? If you make me understand, why do I have to perform wudu, then I would accept Islam. Why women have to cover themselves? Why men have to do this and that? If any disbeliever would like to discuss these things, and he would like to base these things as understanding Iman and Deen, we will tell him sorry. At this point, you are not at a level that you will be able to understand all of these things. If you trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this book, you trust that Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you believe in that, then everything will be acceptable to you. If you don't believe it, you will have objection in everything. It's very simple. For those people, for those Jews who believe in the Old Testament, and they believe that this is their divine book, irrespective of what you pick up from the Bible, and you tell them, this is contradictory, this is not right, this doesn't make any sense, he'll tell you, this is what God said, what can I do? Matter of trust. Aqidah is a matter of trust. And it says in the history, wallahu alam, how true it is, but it might be just an example at least. Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi wrote a tafsir, a great tafsir of Quran al-Kareem in 32 volumes. A tafsir al-Quran about which scholars have said, it has everything except tafsir. This is how much other sciences he has put in that tafsir. With a small fine Arabic writing, it is in 32 volumes. The whole one volume is just Surah al-Fatiha. He was known to be a very intelligent person in proving the values of Islam. It says in the history, at the time of his death, before his death, Shaitan came to him and started arguing with him about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Shaitan will try to bring a doubt, and he would try to give an answer. Then Shaitan will bring a doubt, and he would give an answer. And Shaitan will bring a doubt, he would give an answer. It continued like that, and we got to remember Shaitan is very knowledgeable. Sometimes we don't like to admire our enemies, but true is true. He's very knowledgeable. Because he has seen the time of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. He was before Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. And from Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wa salam up to this day, he's there and he's seeing everything, he's experiencing everything. He dealt with zillions of people from that time to now. A lot of experience in misguiding people. A lot of experience in creating doubts in people's minds. So he continued arguing and arguing and arguing, and saying that he brought more than 70 proofs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not exist. Walayyazu billah. To Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi. And Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi is trying to prove it to him, breaking his proofs and replying to him. Finally, Shaitan said to him, that is still my proofs are stronger than yours. If you talk to proof, then he showed him, he said, if you would like to know what is belief, then I will show you what is belief. There was a farmer working in his farm, and he had an axe in his hand, breaking a tree with it. He went to the farmer in the form of a man, and he said to that farmer, oh, you know, do you believe the oneness of Allah? He said, yes. He said, but I have very strong proofs that he does not exist. he picked up his axe and he said, I'll break your head if you say something like this. So the shaitan ran away from there and he said to Imam Ghazali, he said, that's the way of believing in Allah. Not with proofs. Is I'll break your head if you do it. So, believe always needs trust. Once we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now we have to trust Allah and trust Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Irrespective of now whether the ahkam of sharia are understandable for a person like me or not, because most of the cases, it's my ignorance that does not allow me to understand them properly. Thousands of great people were following the sharia of Islam and they knew all the proofs, they had the right understanding of it. Now a person like me comes and he says, this thing is not understandable, I cannot understand it. Or, this thing does not make sense, wal'ayaz billah. Or, as many times we like to use common sense. The common sense says that this does not fit right. Of course, when the sense is bad and our sensors are not working properly, then the common sense will not give us the right answer. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us this question, which is a matter of aqidah, matter of belief. أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ جُنْدٌ لَكُمْ. Who is there to be in your army? Who can help you? مِنْ دُونِ الرَّحْمَانِ. Other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of your army, which means He's not your helper, He's not your protector, then do you think there is any army in the world that can protect you against the punishment of Allah? إِنِ الْكَافِرُونَ إِلَّا فِي غُرُورٍ. Second question. أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يَرْزُقُكُمْ. Who's there to provide you with sustenance? Provision. Who would give you anything? إِنْ أَمْسَكَ رِزْقَهُ. If he would hold it back from you. Do we think there is any company, any factory, any boss, any person, anything in the world that will provide us with anything, can provide us with anything in this life, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want this person to be provided with those things? We may think of disasters in Somalia and different parts of the world, but if we just look within our own neighborhood, in our backyards, go to the hospitals, see a person who's laying on his bed, not allowed to eat anything. Doctors have said that he cannot eat anything. He cannot use his mouth. Cancer of the throat. Laying on his bed. Go and check his account. He might have more than all of us. But when he have closed, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closed the doors of the risk for that person, that's it. Now no one can open it. Except if he would open it back for that person. And really, if you go there and you see those examples, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows people to do certain things and does not allow certain people to do some things. How He takes that power away from people. Go and ask the people that are laying on those beds over there, what were their plans? Where was he going before he ended up in the hospital? Similar plans that we carry in our minds today. I'll do this, I'll run here, I'll do that. Next day ended up in the hospital, and there are people, you don't even know it, and that person ends up in the hospital, and spends 5-10 years in the hospital laying down on the bed, or send him back, even those people will get tired and send him back to his home, and he will be just laying on one bed throughout his life now. Everyone is waiting for his death. So, أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يَرْزُقُكُمْ. Who's there to provide you with all of this provision? Everything that we have been using. SubhanAllah, Not just the rizq. Look at everything that we have. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will just take the proper functioning of our brain away from us, that's it. The person is gone. Now this person is a burden on his family. The same person that everyone considers the most important person in the family, we cannot live without him. He is the head of the family. He is the provider, wal-ayazu billah. I mean, in normal words, we use it provider or take caretaker. And in normal way, he might also be just not talking about conflicting with the belief, but this is the only person who works in the family. This is the only man in the family. With all of these things, and now, all of a sudden, if just the brain will not function properly, they will think of where to get put him now. How can we just get rid of him somehow? We cannot take care of him now in the house. He's breaking things, he's beating up everyone, he cannot function properly, we cannot take care of him, he runs out of the house, he can kill himself, we have to go and find another place for him. أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يَرْزُقُكُمْ Who is there? Who is providing you with all of this? إِنْ أَمْسَكَ رِزْقَ If he will hold it back from you. بَلْ لَجُّوا فِي عُتُوبٍ وَنُفُورٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Once I give you, then you continue to be in your arrogance. عُتُو is arrogance. Because I'm giving it to you, you continue to be arrogant. وَنُفُورٍ And fleeing away, turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as long as he says, I'm giving it to you nicely, in a nice way, all I'm asking you is to be humble. Instead of that, you be arrogant. I'm asking you because I'm providing you with all of this, you come back to me, you run away from me. If I would take it, then you will try to run back to me. Subhanallah. If we look at ourselves, every person goes through some difficulties in life. When we are in a difficult situation, how much we pray to Allah? And how many promises we make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And as soon as that situation is out, then how we change, as if we don't even know who are we praying to. As if we don't even know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa al-ayazu billah. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. Those Sahaba who hardly were getting some dates to eat throughout the day. Those Sahaba who did not have proper clothing to cover their bodies. Those Sahaba who were hiding themselves behind each other in order to cover their satters. And he's asking them, What do you think about a time that will come when you people will keep on changing dresses every day and you will have different items in your food, in your lunch and in your dinner. You will have all different items. They said, Ya Rasulullah, that will be a great time. Then we will have a lot of time for the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, No, bal antum al-yawma khayr. The situation that you are in today, it's better for you people. Because once you will have all of that, then you will run away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we see really ourselves. بَلْ لَجُّوا فِي عُتُوبٍ وَنُفُورٍ We are just insisting on our arrogance. I'm getting it because of my work, my abilities, because of my degrees, because of this. Utu. This is ledge. Ledge means to just insist on something. We are insisting, in spite of all of this, still we insist on our arrogance. And turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nufur. And we still insist in turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, running away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not still willing to go back and submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَفَمَنْ يَمْشِي مُكِبًّا عَلَى وَجْهِهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now is giving the example of those who are accepting the hidayah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who are rejecting this guidance and this hidayah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A beautiful example. Look at the meaning of the ayah. أَفَمَنْ يَمْشِي مُكِبًّا عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ. Look at this. If a person, the person who's walking upside down on his face, مُكِبًّا عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ, he's walking upside down on his face, أَهْدَىٰ, is he on a better way? أَمَّنْ يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, or he who's walking straight on a straight path. Two people. One person is not able to use his feet. He's upside down, trying to put his face on the ground and walk on it. The second explanation of the ayah is that he's walking on a route that's not suitable for walking, and therefore he keeps on falling on his face every time. And the second person is يَمْشِي سَوِيَّا, walking very straight, does not fall down, walking on his feet, عَلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, and is also walking on a straight path. He says, who out of these two people is on a straight path, have chosen the right direction? Of course, every human being will reply that the person who is walking straight on the straight path is the person who had the right understanding and was walking on the right direction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then why for your deen you are choosing all of those other directions? Turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and using so many directions and not using that straight path where we can really walk straight. We have seen Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam walking on that path. Where are those Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam today? With all the hardships that they went through, the followers of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, what are those Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in doing now? Subhanallah. The comfort that we have today, it's really a hardship of what they are comparing to the situation they are in now. The most comfortable situation of ours today, if you compare it with the nice good time they are having under the ground there, they will feel that this is, you are having a lot of hard time with these beds, with these cars, with all of these things. So, we know that all of those people who were on that Sirat al-Mustaqim, all those Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, the followers of Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, alhamdulillah, spent 50 years, 60 years, went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, got everything they needed. And where is Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab? We all know it. So if we would like to compare ourselves, then here is we have to compare ourselves with these people, because we are going to the same way. We are going to go out the same place. Either we use this direction or that direction. There are people who walked on a path that was making them fall every time on their face, and finally they fall on their face under the ground. And there are some who are walking on their feet under the ground over there. They're having a good time there. Just one example will be a good example to see. مَنْ يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, those who walk straight on a straight path. Jabir bin Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, who's one of the very well-known Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, his father Abdullah died was murdered during the Battle of Uhud. I don't remember correctly, but I think Abdullah had 9 daughters and a son, Jabir radiyallahu anhu. He had some loan on him also. When he passed away, when he was murdered during the battle of Badr or of Uhud, Jabir radiyallahu anhu was very young at that time. And he felt very sad at that time, and he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam crying. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also felt bad for Jabir radiyallahu anhu. And he made some special du'as for Jabir radiyallahu anhu. And he told him at that time, Jabir, should I tell you something about your father? He said, please, Ya Rasulullah, something that will give me some peace of mind. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Jabir, Inna Allah lam yukallim ahadan illa min wara'i hijab. Allah never talks to people except from behind some curtain and his hijab, as in the hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another hadith, Hijabuhu nur. His curtains are nur, light. وَلَكِنَّهُ كَلَّمَ أَبَاكَ مِنْ دُونِ حِجَابٍ Jabir, when your father was murdered, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked to him without any hijab. Your father already saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to your father, Ya Abdullah, تَمَنَّ عَلَيَّ أُعْطِكَ Abdullah, ask for anything, I will give it to you. Abdullah said, Ya Allah, if this is what it is, then send me back to that world so I get murdered again and at least I will inform my brothers, other Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, of the great blessings we get if we get murdered for your path, in your path. He said, No, that's something I have already mentioned in the Quran. أَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهَا لَا يَرْجِعُونَ That people cannot go back to that world. Ya Allah, I would like to inform them of the great blessings we are receiving here. Because I don't want them to lose it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time said, I would reveal an ayah in Quran. That will inform them about it. And at that time, this ayah was revealed. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ Don't think that those who have been murdered in the path of Allah are dead. Instead, they are alive. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ They are alive. يُرْزَقُونَ They are getting their risk, their sustenance over there. They are eating, drinking over there. And ayah continues. فَرِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ عِنْدِهِ They are very pleased of what they got from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَسْتَبْشِرُونَ بِالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ أَلَّا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ And they are very happy that their brothers who would go to them in the same way, getting murdered in the path of Allah, those brothers, their brothers who would go back, who would go to them in the same way, they will be having a real good time in the Akhirah. So they are very happy knowing that our brothers who would be joining us, they will have also all of this pleasure. So they are even there thinking about their brothers in this life. So this is just an example of يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ Walking straight on a straight path. There were some Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam witnessed for them that these are the people who have من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه. They made a promise with Allah that they would devote their lives for the sake of Allah. They will sacrifice their lives for the sake of Allah. They will not give anything in their life preference over the deen of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam witnessed for some Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in that these people have fulfilled that promise and these people really have devoted their lives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not giving anything else in their life preference over the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is questioning us. Who is better? A person who is walking on a straight path or a person who is choosing some other directions? And here we need to remember, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, there is one straight path. And from this straight path, there are too many other small roads that are going on the side. They are branching off from it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all of these branches that are coming out of it, these will take you away from deen. Keep on going on the straight path. Surat al-Mustaqim.
قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He is the one who created you.
This is a beautiful way of making us understand that we really need to do the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, We need to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the maximum of our abilities because He created us. What else we need? What other power we have? We don't own our beginning and we have no control over our end. Two things. No control over the beginning, no control over our end. We did not come with our own will and we did not choose the time for us. We would not go with our will and we will not choose the time for ourselves. He decides all of this. If He decides all of this, then let everything be in His hand. Then what is our worry? One of the Tabi'een, rahmatullahi alayhi majma'een, says, there is one thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised of doing. And human beings think, no, He cannot do it, I would do it. And one thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us to do it, and we feel that I'm not ready for it to do it, and someone else should do that. The promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. That's His promise. That every living being in this universe will get its sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, I will provide. So that Tabi'i says, he says, I will provide, and we feel, no, I'm doing it. I'm going to do it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that you people have to worry about is worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what He's requiring from us. We feel I'm not yet ready for it. Subhanallah. This is what the Creator wants from us. This is how far away we are going away from Him.
قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ.
Say, He is the one who created you, which means He has total control over you. And
وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ.
He gave you the hearing, the eyesight, وَالْأَبْصَارِ وَالْأَفْئِدَةِ in your hearts.
قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ.
Yet, seldom you people are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rarely you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Three things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. All of our abilities are really depending on these things. Hearing, sight, and heart. A person cannot see the truth. A person who cannot hear the truth. Or a person who cannot understand the truth. This is really affecting the hidayah. If we are not able to use our hearing, our eyesight, and our hearts properly. Even from the worldly point of view, a person is blind. Or a person who cannot hear anything. A deaf person. Or a person who has a heart problem. We know the limitations of those people. Their work will be very limited. Cannot see, cannot hear, or heart problem.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي ذَرَأَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ.
Say, He is the one who spread you in the world. He is the one who spread us throughout the world. For what? For His service. So that in every part of the world, there will be someone doing the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone who will be fulfilling the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَإِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. And to whom and to Him you all will return. وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ.
Now see how the kuffar were challenging Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say, when this promise will take place if you are truthful? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is warning them of Akhirah, of the punishment of Akhirah, of the Day of Judgment, and they're saying, مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ. When this promise will take place? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, if you notice, again and again using the word Rahman. Believe me, a person like me. You tell the first people, you explain them, you try to talk to them, and you do your best to explain it to the person. Now finally He challenges you, said, what do you think you can do to me? You know, you will be punished if you won't do it. But I'm trying to tell you nicely, please do it. And again, all He's doing is because of His arrogance, He's only challenging. For how long do you think I will control myself? And this reminds us of another thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one of his qualities is that he does not get affected by emotions, whether it's love or anger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was very angry with shaitan. Extremely angry with shaitan. When he refused to do the sajda for Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. And he forced him out of his rahmah, kicked him out of his rahmah. Kicked him out of the heavens. At that point, when he's so upset, shaitan knows Allah. He knows that he does not get affected by emotions. In that situation, when he's getting kicked out, he's praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَنْظِرْنِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Ya Allah, give me a long life so I can live till the day of judgment. When is he praying to Allah? Did he please Allah and then he's praying to him? No. This is at a time when he's kicking him out of his rahmah. Just at that moment, he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the dua gets accepted also. To tell us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not get affected by these things. He does not work under emotions. Of course, that's Allah. His Hakim. In everything that he does, there is hikmah, there is wisdom. So, when he loves someone, that's within those limits of love. When he hates someone, he does not like someone for his kufr and shirk, that's within those limits of hating people. So, everything is within the limits. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, هُوَ الَّذِي ذَرَأَ وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدِ. So again and again they were challenging Allah. When is this promise? Challenging Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is challenging Allah. Yet he did not punish them. Yet he did not destroy them. I was saying a person like me will say, okay, I was supposed to punish, give you time for another 1,000 years, but if you people don't want to listen, then here. Now you see it. But no. They continuously challenged. And through this challenge, really, imagine, they would go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's talking to people about Islam and about deen, and all of a sudden one of them will get up and will say, Mata hadha al-wa'd? When do you think the day of judgment will take place? Bring it, if you are truthful, in kuntum sadiqeen. If you are truthful, go ahead and bring the day of judgment. And all he says, that I don't know. Now, a person who says, I don't know, at a time when he's challenged, really, that makes his situation weak at that time. At least in the eyes of his enemies. Yet, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted that situation and never made a dua against these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Say, only Allah knows that. I don't know it. وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. I'm only a plain warner. Remember, there are two different things. One is knowing that the day of judgment will take place. We all know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that. The second is when it would take place, no one knows that except Allah. So now, for conveying the message, it is enough to know that it will take place. We don't have to know when it will take place to warn people against it. A disaster is coming. And we know that this will happen. So we tell the people this is what will happen. And there are people who get upset and they say, when it would happen? You tell them, I don't know. I know it will happen. Therefore, I'm just warning you that be careful. This is what will happen. So you get ready for it. Same thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Only Allah knows when it will take place, but I know that it will take place. وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا نَذِيرٌ مُّبِينٌ. I'm only an open, plain warner. Now here, this is another very important point that we need to remember. Sometimes we people who like to preach Islam and preach deen, we like to answer every question that we get from people. Whether it's a question, objection, we like to answer all of those. No. We don't have to answer all of those questions. We don't have to have the answer for every objection. All we are doing is إِنَّمَا أَنَا نَذِيرٌ مُّبِينٌ. I'm a plain warner. I'm warning you that this is what it is. and I don't know the rest. I don't know too much details. I don't know the answer to those questions that you're asking me. Sometimes our own Muslims will try to ask questions that will be really in a way objection to Islam. We have to tell those people very simply that, remember, this is not my deen. This is the deen of Allah. You are the follower of this deen and I'm a follower of this deen. Both of us are doing the same thing. It's not my deen. I'm trying to explain just certain things that I know, and if you know something better, try to explain those things to me. But it won't help if any of us will try to attack this deen. Because we all are working in the same direction. We cannot attack deen. إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. And this is why there is a hadith says, إِنَّ مِنَ الْعِلْمُ أَن تَقُولَ لِمَا لَا تَعْلَمْ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ. It's part of the path of the knowledge that if you don't know something, you say Allahu A'lam. Allah knows. Allah knows the best. And not just try to give our opinions and just try to make up a question, fabricate an answer to that question, and through that, God forbid, we might be misleading people.
فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ زُلْفَةً. When they will see it approaching, zulfa,
zulf means to get close. When they will see it approaching,
سِيئَتْ وُجُوهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. The faces of the disbelievers will look rash. They will be different.
وَقِيلَ هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تَدَّعُونَ. And it will be said to them, this is what you people were asking for, were calling for. As soon as they will see the Day of Judgment. And of course at the time of each person's individual's death.
قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَهْلَكَنِيَ اللَّهِ.
Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask them some questions. Subhanallah. These ayahs are very important for those people, and of course all of us are part of it, who are doing any service to this deen and trying to do any work for this deen. Because many times from our own people, you get some problems, some objections. People try to stop you from doing the work of deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ask them, أَرَأَيْتُمْ. Tell me this. إِنْ أَهْلَكَنِيَ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ مَعِيَ. If Allah will destroy me and all of those who are with me, أَوْ رَحِمَنَا, or He will have mercy on us. فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Does that change the question of disbelievers getting punishment in the Akhirah? That still stands there. So he's asking the disbelievers that, say if I get destroyed by Allah, how is it going to help you people? You people are still responsible for your deen and your iman. Same thing for every person who's working for this deen. And people, our own people who are trying to stop him from that work, ask those people, say, okay, I won't be able to continue doing this service. This masjid, God forbid, whichever it is, this masjid doesn't exist. This place does not exist. I do not exist. My work does not exist. How is it going to help you? What is it that you are going to get out of it? You are still responsible for your iman and your deen. You have to do your part, whether I exist or I don't. فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Who is going to help the disbelievers against the painful torment, against the painful punishment? So, one person moving out of our way, who's doing the right work, is not going to make us go to the Jannah. We have to keep on doing our work.
قُلْ هُوَ الرَّحْمَانِ آمَنَّا بِهِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, this is Rahman that we believe in. He is the most merciful one that we believe in. Inshallah, He is not going to destroy us. Because the ayah says, أَهْلَكَنِي اللَّهُ وَمَنْ مَعِيَ وَرَحِمَنَا. If Allah will destroy me and my followers, or He will have mercy on me, then what you people are going to get out of it. So now Allah says, say Allah inshallah is not going to destroy us. هُوَ الرَّحْمَانُ آمَنَّا بِهِ. This is Rahman that we believe in. وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. We have put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have trusted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now remember, we are to the last ayahs of the surah. And I said in the beginning session, that these ayahs, especially Surah Al-Mulk, the whole surah is really emphasizing on trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at the end we are confessing, and now we are saying it, هُوَ الرَّحْمَانُ آمَنَّا بِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا.
Now we all confess. We all return to Allah and we say that this is Rahman that we believe in. وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. We have put our trust also in him.
فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ هُوَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Soon you will know who is in plain error. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ.
Say, tell me this, if all of your water will dry, إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا, if all of your water will get dry, فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ, who can bring you with gushing water? Of course, the ayah, the literal meaning of the ayah, if all the water in the world will get dry, we have no access to water. And we got to remember this also. There was never in the past so difficult to stop people from getting the water. Never in the past so difficult to stop people getting to water than it is nowadays. Nowadays, in the past, if you wanted to stop people from getting the water, it was difficult. That people are going to the ocean, people are going to the wells, they have their own wells in their yards. Nowadays, if really people don't want us to get water, it's very easy. We got so used to having water in our home, if the main line will shut down, they will just close the main line on us, and we know that we don't have access to any other water then. That will prevent us from getting to any water. It's very easy to stop people from getting water these days than it was in the past. Although they did not have all of these easy ways and means of getting the water into the house, but people knew where the water is and they were getting to the water. And now when we get it at our home, it's very easy to stop us from getting that water. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah is saying, tell me if all of your water will dry. Who's going to get you with some water? Mufassirin, almost many of the Mufassirin have narrated an incident under this ayah that there was a person who heard this ayah of Quran, and he was a king. When he heard this ayah of Quran al-Kareem, he said, I will provide people with water. Because he thought there are so many options, there will so many oceans, so many rivers, so many wells in the country, they will never get dry. As soon as he said that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach him and the other people a lesson. Just right at that moment, the water stopped coming into his eyes. His eyes got dry, and people heard someone saying, forget about providing the whole world with the water. Just get a water for yourself. Put some water in your eyes for yourself. Can we provide ourselves with provide our eyes with some water if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get them dry? Subhanallah. فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ. Who's going to bring you with gushing water? Who's going to provide you with this gushing water? And at the same time, of course, this ayah, as it has a literal meaning, it's referring to this deen. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the hidayah away from you, then who's there to give you the hidayah? This is what it's really referring to. That he's not basically asking us just about the water. Water is an example of the hidayah of Allah, of the deen of Allah, of the knowledge of this deen. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one of his ahadith, he also mentioned this type of example. He said, whenever it rains, there is three type of land. One is a type of land that is straight, and it's a hill type of land. A lot of rocks does not stop the water, and rain does not help that land at all. It does not stop the water there, and the water just, as soon as it rains on it, it keeps on falling away from it. There is another type of land that, of course, the land itself does not benefit too much from that water, but it's a type of land that collects the water. It becomes like a pond, so animals and people can go and drink from it. And there is a third type of land that will take the water into it and then give the people the growth, vegetables, and all the other plants that come out of it. This is how they would come out. The land took the water and now turned the water into some other form and giving us something else out of it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is the example of my deen. That there are some people who they hear it, they hear the Quran, they hear the ahadith, it just hits them and falls off. They don't get nothing out of it. It hits them and falls off. Just like a hilly road, the road there which has a lot of hills on it, it does not stop the water and does not benefit from it. And no one can benefit from it. And there are some people who will keep it, which means they will learn the Quran and Hadith, and people can benefit from it. They themselves, they do not benefit too much from it, but people benefit from it. And the third type of people are those who get the Quran and Hadith. And then they will give us the right understanding of it. He is getting an ayah and giving us 10 different plants out of it. 10 different understandings of it that will apply to our life, that will benefit us in different parts of our life. So this is the third type of people who benefit from this knowledge of deen. Those are the people who are using this Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the best. So this water is an example of this deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us, if I won't provide you with the water, which means if you don't get the hidayah from me, then who else do you think can give you the hidayah? And of course, no one except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to Surat al-Mustaqim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq to repent to Allah, to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to understand the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and practice accordingly. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا عَلَى الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.